shot. You'll be fine, baby.
Hello there.
It's 41 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of October in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and germ-ridden studios of AM 970. Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson radio program. It is Tuesday, and welcome to Day 12. Thank you for coming by. You know, after all that work I did updating, after all that work you did, after all that work that was done by people who were not me, updating the encyclopedia, the Rickadonia thing, whatever it is we're going to do, the fact, I never actually bothered to update it on the website. I'm going to do that one of these days. Somebody asked me again about the welcome to Day 12 thing. Anywho, it's, I got to quit saying anywho. You know what I wish they sold was a low-level shock collar. Nothing that would kill you. Nothing that would scar you or wound you in any serious way. Just something that I could... It's just some sort of very subtle... some sort of a negative reinforcement tool that I could use. On myself. Like that thing they sold at Fantasy that zaps your urethra. Except not that. Because who wants that? Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. Today's radio program, 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us electronically, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Engaging with us electronically leads me to this thought. I am constantly mystified whenever there's a thunder and lightning storm and the power goes out, yet the phone continues to work. I don't understand how the phones can work if there's no electricity. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's never made any sense to me. I'm not talking about a cell phone either. I'm talking about the old, the old people, the plug-in kind. You kids don't remember that, but it plugged into the wall. You did there'd be some sort of a power outage, they would continue to work. The whole thing is just goddamn mystifying. Well, no one cares.
I just don't have one. So
does anybody here have a plug-in phone?
Yep.
Tim Riley, landline.
Oh.
Sarah Dillon, landline.
Nope.
Me, no landline. Scotty J has a landline, I'll guarantee you. You have two? Two! What, is one for your chillins? Is one for your, I'm sorry. You have two business lines. La-di-da.
He has a lot of business.
His wife has a lot of business. He has a cell phone, which I used to ask him to park my car in the mornings. Yeah. Bam. That's a gratifying feeling, by the way. I would encourage you, if you're ever coming in feeling a little low about yourself, maybe unhappy or displeased with your station in life, it's a good feeling. Just ring Scotty up and ask him to park your car. And then don't tip. I'm sorry, Scotty. I did feel like kind of a jerk here this morning. Not that big of a jerk. What are you going to do? I was late. I literally, you all don't know this, I am bathed in a thin sheen of sweat at this very moment. There's some joke there. There's some joke about Charlie Sheen. I don't know what it is. Yeah, no, if I was more awake, I'd be able to do that. Except to say that Emilio Estevez' real name is Emilio Sheen, which in turn sounds like some sort of a Latin hair care product. I use Emilio Sheen. I'm not even medicated today. 503-733-2970. You can also email it. It's rick@rickemerson.com. I know we've addressed like 500 things, but, you know, it'll all sort itself out. I just walked into the building literally like 6 minutes ago. It is now 11:04. I walked in here, I guess, about 11:53. I just hurling my way, sledding my way down, bombing my way down the street, as Mickey Spillane used to say, in my heap. My car pulled up, and I called Scotty from like 6th and Salmon. And I called him, Scotty J, yes, be up front, be waiting for me. And I pull up, didn't even turn off the car. I just pull out and I bolt out of the car and I throw him my keys. And I just park my car for me. And then get me a turkey pot pie. I'll get right on that. Yeah, I'll clean it. I'll clean it just for you next time. You think my car is dirty? Go see my house. You don't even want to know. You don't know from filth. My house is repellent at the moment. All right, it's a Rick Emerson radio program. We'll get the mailman. Chris, here in a second, we'll list the things we're going to do, which is going to be a neat trick because I have no idea.
Well, I just picked up a heap of papers on your desk figuring that is today's show, and I throw them on the counter.
You know what that is? That... It's like when you would get a toy for Christmas or something that wasn't assembled, and you would just dump it out of the box in a big plastic bag, and like there was the toy somewhere. In this assembled pile of, in this heap of rubble, somewhere was like the visible man, or, you know, a bicycle, or whatever it is your dad was trying to put together. You couldn't tell because it was all in a big pile of crap. But you knew the toy was represented somewhere by that small pile of pieces. That's what today's show is. In fact, if we had a webcam, which we really had to work on getting, I would be able to show you. Today's show exists, but it's all in just one huge, unsorted, unfiltered, unstacked, unsimplified, uncollated pile of papers. It's all right there. But you know what? It's fine. It'll all work itself out.
Mm-hmm.
I have a whole... Man, you don't even want to know from news today, though. I got this whole thing. Where did I put it? It might, in fact, be in that
pile. You want this? Well, take this deck, because I don't know what that is.
I got this whole pile of gossip, and I'm talking good gossip today. I'm talking Sarah Dillon-style gossip. It's fantastic. Some of it involving Bill Clinton.
Here's another stack.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay, right? That was on your desk.
Right here.
All right.
Good time. So I'll kind of sort through this. We could let everybody hear the exciting show prep process that typically happens here around 10 o'clock. So I was at a meeting over at Kink where they can do whatever they want. And, boy, that place, man, I was just saying this before we came on the air, that place is like an armed compound because it's in the same building as KGW. You got to go through like three different sets of doors and you got to like ring up on a telephone. It's like talking to somebody at Sing Sing. They're going to bring you up and then you got to... Then you gotta try to get past Rebecca Webb, who corners you in the hallway because she heard you talking about her with Peter Carlin, and who tries to put in, and who succeeds, by the way, in putting a colossal guilt trip on you. So now I can never again make fun of Rebecca. I suppose, but I'll feel bad about it. Rebecca Webb from Kink, who we talked about some time ago on this program because she had a bit of an unpleasant run-in with Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. She knows the Achilles heel that I have, and I can't speak for Sarah, but I think it probably goes for all of us. That having met her, I can now never again be snarky about her. That's the thing. If I meet somebody and they're really nice to me, I can no longer be mean. And she offered to make me cookies. I swear to God. I was standing over at the Kink building this morning, and she comes up and she says, "Hi, I'm Rebecca Webb." And then suddenly I feel really bad for having made fun of her that day because she thought Portland, Oregon was Portland, Maine, and vice versa. And so we had this whole awkward conversation. And then she brought up the fact that I made fun of her picture on the Kink website. It's just one endless... Things that we do on the air that you don't really think of until you then meet the person. She's like, "Do you remember me? You ridiculed me for 25 minutes on the air the other day. It's okay. My tear's dry." You know? And I felt all bad. And then she ended the conversation by saying, "It's okay, Rick. I'll make you cookies." She said sort of Ann Wilkes style. And then just walked away, planning to hobble me.
Sure wasn't Ann Coulter style.
It's entirely possible. Although you'll be happy to know, by the way, that apparently just because of the comments we made, that I think she is going to be getting a new photograph of herself for the Kink website, one in which she does not look quite so arch and 50s style. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. Before we do anything else here, so I'm running a little late, but let's welcome Mailman Chris here to the Rick Emerson.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
And then we'll get David here in a second to talk about the phones. Hey, Chris, you work for the man. You know why the flags were at half staff yesterday?
I had no idea.
I was driving across the Hawthorne Bridge yesterday. To get home, and I noticed, I don't even know what that building is, but when you come across the Hawthorne Bridge, when you were headed eastbound over the Hawthorne Bridge, down by the, you like on that, it is the, I think it's Hawthorne Bridge, the Grand Cafe, when you're heading towards the Grand Cafe, there's a building on your left that has a state flag and a federal flag on top, and then they were at half mast. And then, of course, there's always this morbid fascination about who's dead. And then I'm always kind of bummed when I can't think of who it is that's died. So,
well, if it's a federal, I mean, the governor has the authority to lower the American and state flag,
right?
And has been doing that lately when an Oregon soldier has been killed.
Oh, really?
Right, so, which happens like every day.
Yeah, now. I was going to say, which is more or less an ongoing situation right at this point. Well, that's depressing. All right. Well, I was hoping it was. I mean, not that I don't.
Like
not
a celebrity,
that,
like Bob Hope.
I was just going to say, I was hoping it was one of the enemies of the Rick Emerson program. I was hoping it was someone whose time really had come, like Bob Hope, whose time came about 50 years ago, but whose body didn't realize it until about 5 years ago. That's just a big downer to see Iraq. That makes total sense now because it's grinding on over there. War without end. All right. How's life in the postal delivery service, my friend?
It's coupon day.
It's what?
It's coupon day.
Oh, coupon day.
Tuesday,
oh, okay.
So.
Yeah, well, you know, what can you do?
Yeah,
you know, there's people out there who need two-for-one peas. You know, I can't remember the last time that I used a coupon, ever. Ever. Tim Riley uses coupons, I bet, and I bet Mrs. J does. Sarah, I bet
you... I have an accordion file.
Do you really? Accordion files are one of those things that I buy every now and again. Do you ever do this? My wife does this constantly. Buying office supplies that you believe... Now, I love office supplies. Don't get me wrong. You know I do. But buying office supplies that you believe will make you more organized, and then they never do. And then they just go and they sit in a big pile in the basement. And then later you buy another supplementary office supply that overrides the last one. None of this ever helps you to get organized, ever. I have bought in my life more accordion folders, files, sorting things, stacking things, inboxes, outboxes, spindles, staples, spikes, wheels. You know, none of it works. Sarah, I'm guessing, is a person who uses the occasional coupon. I'm guessing...
I do, like the ones, like if I'm buying a box...
For your breakfast foods. For your breakfast foods or your, you know, your lunchtime foods.
Yes.
Like your Italian. I bet you
yes,
use coupons
for that. Like my lasagna. And then, you know, if I'm buying a hair product and they have the coupons attached, you know, to the display rack,
yeah,
then I'll use those, too.
All right. Is Tim actually armed with coupons now?
I do have cards for restaurants that I use.
Fantastic. Yeah. They give me those cards, and then I lose them. And
oh, no, there's 2-for-1 Tuesday.
Everywhere. They'll give me, like at coffee people, not that it matters now, they'll give me those things, and it's like, and I will lose them, and then I'll find them underneath the seat of my car years later when I'm having it detailed. That's when I'll do that. Speaking of which, I got to find out about coffee people. Do we know when they're closing? I know it's for the beginning of today's show is all over the map, but what can you do? Because I got all these partial coupons for free Black Tiger. I got to get those things. It's so sad. You drive by that coffee people on Powell, and they have these, you know, because they have the sort of witty signs up there that they always try to be sort of punny and so forth. And you drive by that coffee people on 36th and Powell now, and it just says, get it while you can. It's depressing. And the other side says, we're still here for now. It's all just a huge buzzkill. All right. Anyway, coupon day. Here's some of the things we're going to get through today. We do have another pair of passes to see Al Gore, Al Gore's global warming seminar. I wish there was some zinky name for this, but there just isn't. It sounds so lame just to say Al Gore's global warming seminar.
It's a good show.
I wish they would name it. What should we call it? Let's name it today, shall we? Today we'll name Al Gore's, not now. Don't call now. Don't call now. We're going to name it, though. Al Gore. Better name. This is the problem with the guy. He just can't market him. He couldn't market his way out of a sock. Al Gore. Better name. You're hearing show prep as it happens.
Al Gore's Bores and More.
Okay, don't. See, I'm trying to beat everybody to the punch. Nobody likes that guy. Let's see. Al Gore. Yeah, we're going to come up with a better name for this. But we are going to have a pair of passes we're giving away to this Al Gore thing, which is happening at the Rose Garden Tuesday, October 24th. I think we'll probably just do pop culture face off of that because, listen to this. That's the sound of my pop culture trivia pursuit questions that I brought in today. No longer do I have to make Scotty... Because Scotty's is the pop culture questions he got at the internet were okay, but they were a little unchallenging. I found them to be several notches below my skill level. They were perhaps a green belt.
You lost.
Okay. The only reason I, quote, lost is because of these rules that I imposed that you only had to get one right and I had to get three in a row.
No,
right?
No, but then
because
remember...
I was fantastic.
No, because then I got three in a row. I told you I wanted the same rules.
Baby, that's what's called propping up your ego.
Oh,
that's
I'm
what's
sure.
called making you feel good.
You seem so concerned about my ego.
I will hand these questions to you for safekeeping.
See, and I know I'm going to do bad at these because I've looked at a couple of these before and they're all pop culture that I don't know. So you'll win today.
Well, then but see, if it's pop culture, by definition, it's popular culture. You should know it. Let's do a sample question right now. Don't look at the answer.
Okay.
Sample question. I don't even know what the categories are in this.
All right. What was the name of the overweight rapper created by comedian Arsenio Hall?
Bam, Chunky A.
See, I would have no idea.
Yeah! Brooklyn!
These might be more skewed for your demographic.
Oh, thank you. The balding demographic. For the hat-wearing demographic, by the way, you'll notice I'm wearing a KUFO hat today. I am a team player. I'm going to wear a different hat every day of the week, and they can't all be band hats. All right. All right, what else are we going to do? We got Al Gore. We got the Ministry of Truth of Tim Riley later on. We'll talk about that more in a second. We got the Jim Roop, I believe, coming up today. There's exciting O.J. Simpson news. Also, Michael Jackson news coming up. What else? What else? What else? What else? Well, there's some depressing television news. We'll get to that as well. Let's see. We have... God, I just can't even read my own scroll. It's completely pointless. I got a big stack of gossip here, including Bill Clinton gossip and something about hot lesbian action. So we'll get to featuring women you know and love, figuratively at least. So we'll get to that as well. That's it. I'm going to tease like four things today. We'll see how that works out for us today. There you go, my friend.
All right, so I'm going to give away Al Gore sticks. Jim Roop's going to be on. Get some Michael Jackson news, depressing TV news, and you're going to get some gossip.
Yeah, that's basically it. I'm going to aim low, my friend. Today is all about managed expectations, as the sales folks say.
Excellent. Well,
all right, there you go. We will
hear that and talk to you three.
Check in with you at the end of the program, sir. Thank you. There you go. That's Mailman Chris. By the way, I want to thank our good friend Kara. She dropped off a hat for me yesterday, a pig and pancake hat, which is it's fantastic. It's black. And the front, it's got a pig. And this isn't one of those things that's a little disturbing. It's one of those anthropomorphizing, it's like a pig with the napkin around his neck holding a knife and fork. And then the question is, what is the pig getting ready to eat?
Pancakes.
Okay, but how do we know that? I mean, am I the only one who gets freaked out by that? Like about foods asking you to eat them, like M&Ms asking to be eaten and so forth? The whole thing freaks me out, and did even when I was a kid. There were a whole series of commercials when I was a kid where it was sandwiches that spoke, and the sandwiches were all unnerved because you were using a mustard that wasn't French's. Blah, da, blah, da, blah. But it's like, why would the sandwich want to be covered in French's mustard when that means that the sandwich is being eaten, presumably while still alive? The whole thing is goddamn weird. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, it's like those dancing lobsters. Throw me in a pot of boiling water and watch my eyes pop out.
That's the phrase of the day, number one, by the way. Throw me in a pot of boiling water and watch my eyes pop out. That's another contest we should do in some way. We can just flag phrases of the day as we go through. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. That's a brilliant idea that I just had. We're going to flag phrases of the day, and at the end, if somebody can regurgitate all of them, we'll toss you a little something. We got a big pile of books from The Onion that just came in as well. All right. Toss me in a pot of boiling water. Boiling water. Was it eyes or eyeballs?
Well, it probably has eyeballs.
And watch my eyeballs pop out. Even without being stoned, that's hilarious. Watch my eyeballs.
Unless you're a lobster.
It might be hilarious for a second or two before it all really kind of sinks in. They always try to spin this fiction that lobsters don't have any sense of pain. I think that's a load. That's some stuff that's just devised to make you feel better. All right. Tim Riley's working the following stories today.
We're going to test another nuke. What are you going to do about it, taunts Kim Jong-il? Do something to help me. The president summons conservative talk show host of the White House for a pep talk.
That'll work.
The nation's... Here's some kind of fake story that's implanted that there's no way to find out if it's true. The nation's population allegedly hits 300 million this morning with the birth of a baby in an undisclosed location. An aggression bird bandit is arrested after cops discovered beak bites on his hands.
Beak bites?
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. His hat's a little tight.
Don't take it off.
I'm not taking it off. I'm just saying I might need that low hat back. What?
No, I don't know. I saw something.
Oh, I saw something. The specter.
Ew, please keep it on.
I'm just saying the hat's a little snug. Don't. Look away. I'm not an animal. Sorry. It was the obligatory put the pig and pancake one on. I'll rotate throughout the day, Scott Farrell style. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Well hey, Rick. You asked earlier about why the phones still work.
Yeah.
Even when the electricity goes out.
Even when the power's off, yeah.
Well, I'll clear that up for you, I think, maybe. I was at a Christmas party this past Christmas, and some relative works for the phone company and actually explained just how that works. What they have are these, I don't know what you call them, but they're buildings that have, you know, where all those phone lines come in, and they're kind of like a transfer station or whatever. Those places have batteries, and there you go. The batteries power the phone system.
This is a dumb explanation. and I think you're making it up. Because it can't...
No, no.
Because think about what you're saying. You're saying that the reason the phones don't go out is because they have batteries. Well, if that was the case, then why wouldn't they just put everything on batteries? Why wouldn't they run everything on batteries?
I'll tell you why. Because the phones don't use very much electricity, and the batteries will support them for periods of time with no electricity. I mean, you know, except for the battery, which I believe are rechargeable. All right, now, this is a party. This is some uncle. He works for the phone
was
company.
Was he drunk when he was telling you this?
Pardon me?
Was he drunk when he was telling you this?
Not yet. This is one of us. He was early on in the party.
This explanation sounds a little too simple to really be believable.
You know, sometimes the simple ones are the accurate solutions.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. I hope that clears it up for you.
All right, that's David. That's a lie. That's a completely false explanation is what that is. All right. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. I realize I glossed over introducing Sarah Exton. How you doing? You're all bandaging.
Oh, no, that's okay.
No, well, we had already been talking. You know what it is? You're such a vibrant force that I forgot that I hadn't. So is it flu shot day? Am I the only one that wasn't told about this?
Yeah, we got free flu shots. I've never had one. I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, but it's because it's going to give you the flu.
It's not going to give me the flu.
Maybe.
The flu shot guy said it won't give you the flu.
Why don't we get Clyde on the phone, see what Clyde thinks about flu shots.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Clyde's going to talk to us about medicine now?
I'm just saying, by the way, you may have heard us. We had Clyde on yesterday. And he was talking about this thing he created, meat cake, where it's like it's meat shaped like a cake. Somebody did email him, point out that, you know, meatloaf. Been around for 500 years. Didn't really occur to me yesterday. Let's see. Let's talk to Ryan. Hello, you're on the Rick Emerson program. What's up?
Hey, Rick.
Like open phone.
Yeah, you were talking about the disturbing commercials where you see like the sandwich asking to eat it or whatever.
It was okay. Tim knows what I'm talking about, right? It was an animatronic, like a little Muppet sandwich, and the guy was approaching with like generic mustard.
No, it was French's mustard, I believe.
Well, no, but the commercial would start with a sandwich, and here's what it was. It was a sandwich, and for eyes, it had little olives on toothpicks.
Yeah.
And the hand was approaching from off-screen with generic mustard, and the sandwich was pulling back in horror, saying, "That's not French's!"
Yeah.
The theory is that the sandwich was horrified by being slathered in a mustard that was not name brand, when really, you'd think that the sandwich would be horrified by the idea that it was going to be chewed up and eaten and swallowed and passed through someone's colon. Yep. That really would seem like the larger issue to me.
I'm wondering if you've seen the commercial that disturbs me. It's about eating at the snack bar at a movie theater.
No.
It's like these candy bars and a pop, drink, dance around and they're singing.
Right.
And the popcorn bucket says, "And you can eat out of my head."
Does it really say that? What is that a commercial for?
And it's just disturbing.
What's it a commercial for?
It's for eating at the snack bar when you go to the movies.
Is it the one that they play in the theater? The "Let's go out to the lobby," is it on television?
Well, I've seen it on TV, but I think they do play it at the.
And you can eat out of my head?
Yeah, the popcorn bucket says, "And you can eat out of my head."
Who would possibly be enticed to go eat by having that phrase uttered? Who hears that and says, "Well, I can't wait. I got to go do it now." Okay, that's phrase of the day number two. Phrase of the day number two. And you can eat. This was a great new game. And you can eat out of my head.
I feel so honored.
Yeah, Ryan, every little bit helps. All right, thank you, sir.
There you go.
Thank you, my friend. All right. 503-733-2970. When do we have a... I didn't put down time. Is it Lisa got it at 11:45?
Yeah, Lisa at 11:45.
And she's talking about Foley and Korea and then something else. Wesley Snipes?
Yes.
He didn't beat somebody,
busted.
Did he?
No, he didn't pay his taxes.
Wow. You think that celebrities would learn at a certain point that you have to pay taxes. Why are celebrities the only ones who are caught off guard by this news? All right, Gary Baumgarten, 1:15 as we count down to his departure. Jim Rupo at O.J. Simpson.
Foley's not really in rehab.
Is he? Is that true?
He's been seen in two places. In Texas, where somebody took pictures, and in D.C., where he's staying at a friend's house.
Do you have him on your website?
Yes, I do.
Really? That's fantastic. Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about. Cracker Jack reporting. Excellent. All right. Well, Sarah Dillon, it's time for you to make an executive decision. Should we just continue to take these calls that are inexplicably pouring in? Should we break?
We're kind of heavy commercial-wise today. We should break.
All right. Well, we're heavy news-wise. Well, let's break. We'll come back, do a couple of these phone calls. Maybe we might do a story or two, and then we'll lead it into Lisa Goddard. Because even for today, we were so underprepared. We're really overburdened with just things that need to be talked about.
Yeah, people can just hang on for a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
And you can eat out of my head. Hello? Hear me in the back. Rick Emerson radio program. Man, we're only 32 minutes in. We got great phrases already. Phrases so far today. Toss me in a pot of boiling water and watch my eyeballs pop out. Closely followed by, and you can eat out of my head. Did you put on lip gloss? Did you put on makeup during the break? You weren't made up before.
I put on lip gloss.
All right. Oh, yeah, the rest of you's not made up.
Okay. No, don't make me be mean. I'm feeling a little sassy today.
No, I'm just saying.
And I have a stock of hair plug jokes.
No, I'm just saying.
Okay.
No, because I could only see you in profile, and your lips were suddenly shining.
Well, I didn't want to wear any eye makeup today, because every time I get into the studio, my eyes get all itchy because of all this gross air that we're
I'm not making fun. I'm just saying that it's merely your lips that are shiny. The rest of you, not shiny.
That's a good thing.
I know.
Let's move on.
I'm picking a fight about it. Okay. Good God. People calling about phones still. All right. And then so forth. James, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Hey, Rick. I am a Verizon field technician. It is actually powered by batteries and generators out of the central office.
Okay. So it's true. So the phone system is run by batteries.
It's run by batteries and generators that pump up those batteries.
Why don't they just make everything run on batteries then? Like, why doesn't Comcast just get batteries so that, like, so that when the power goes out, I can still watch, Oz or something?
How are you going to turn your TV on, Rick?
Okay, well, look, Mr. Smarty Man, we could just, doesn't it seem like we could just run everything on batteries? Really, then you could just run everything on a battery, right?
Yeah, technically. And it's DC, though, and the voltage is always there anyways. It just happens to stay there when the power goes out because it's coming from us.
Okay. I don't really understand the difference between DC and AC because I'm not all that bright, but I'll just assume that it makes some kind of sense. But it is true. So it is. It does run on batteries, though. Thank you, sir. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Bye.
All right, guys. That's James. I'll do one more. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Yesterday you were lamenting near the end of the show about needing a new hat, and I have a Star Wars Darth Vader helmet. Full-on thing. Goes all the way over. Plus, if it fell off, from what I hear, you'd look just right.
Thank you. That's very amusing. Thank you, sir. It is too late for me. Actually, Lara was the one who suggested that. She suggested that I wear the full-on, the thing. And I was saying, like, maybe I could make a whole... So, because now I'm doing a different hat.
Now you and I went. Yeah, you and I went hat shopping yesterday.
It's not easy to find a hat. Sarah and I spent like 2 hours looking for hats yesterday. Couldn't find anything.
I found some great hats. That bear hat was the coolest thing.
Okay,
ever.
Here's what Sarah found. Sarah found like a Halloween, because what we discovered is the 2 weeks leading up to Halloween are perhaps the worst 2 weeks in the year to go shopping for hats, because everything is like a Captain and Tennille getup or like something that makes you look like a zebra. And so Sarah's like, look at this bitchin' hat. And I look over and it's like literally a bear head. The one just wears on top, and I don't even know.
And there
know
was that pretty silver one.
Yeah, so if I wanted to go as Captain Fantastic, I'm all set. But there was really nothing that one could actually wear. So I I'm not going to wear a Daniel Boone hat, Scotty. You can't even buy those anymore. So don't
just do the Sleepy Hollow. Cut out the eyes on the pumpkin.
Well, maybe you see, but that thing is, I get closer to Halloween, and again, I can do the full on the beekeeper hat, and I can do like a stormtrooper hat, you know, as I get closer to October 31st. But we had the regional vice presidents in town today, and so I didn't want to look like a total tool. And so the thing is, you can tell that somebody important is in town because everybody's walking around dressed in clothes that they would never normally wear. And Sarah and I were talking about this. This fools no one. I mean, it's got to be amusing to a guy like he comes to town, he meets all the people at the station, everybody's suddenly wearing a tie. Does he really think that the midday guy at KUFO wears a tie the rest of the day? Who's fooled by this?
He's one of the talent run out to the bathroom, put lipstick on in a break.
Yes. No one is fooled. So I'm just wearing my same old. I just got my jeans and a black shirt. But I wanted to wear a hat, but I figured I couldn't really, you know, like the pig and pancake hat. God love it. It's just not going to work in that meeting. So I'm wearing a KUFO hat so I may look like a tool, but I'm look like a team playing tool. So, all right. Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Have
right.
a good one.
All right. There you go. Thank you, my friend. All right. Well, I want to know about it. We've got Lisa Goddard to get to, and I've got this stuff, but this the Mark Foley thing, should we wait, or do you have that now? Do you have that prepared?
Oh, we're doing it?
Well, I don't know. Do you have the stuff? Well, I can't wait.
Oh, it's on my website.
Ah, all right.
I could get it.
It's okay. We can do it. I'll tell you what. We'll address it later.
All right.
We'll address it later in the news hour. Let me do this, then, so we don't get behind.
I'll go work on that now, then.
Okay, yeah, because I've already got like three emails from people who are asking all about it.
Okay.
These are people who are demanding Foley information.
All right, I'll do that.
That'll be fantastic. So I will get a little bit of this this big stack of gossip crap done. Then we'll get some more of these phone calls. Then we got Lisa Goddard coming up. I want to read a few of these before we get any further, because otherwise they'll be lost. We have this because we had talked. There's been an ongoing series of discussions on this program over the last year and a half about the ongoing puffiness of Vince Vaughn. And Vince Vaughn, there was a time. Look, I mean, I can say this as a man. There was a time when Vince Vaughn was a very attractive person. Now he just looks all spongy. And I know that I'm no one to point the spongy finger at anybody else. Vince Vaughn's got a little bit of what we used to call bloatia. Going on. I don't know what that is. I don't know whether that's some sort of, like, when women, you land a man and then suddenly you could just, you let yourself get all sagged out or whatever. And Vince Vaughn is no longer chiseled. He's just sort of, it's like one has just sort of rolled some clay between one's hands and formed it into a vaguely human shape.
Oh, I still think he's hot.
Well, I think he's, you know, here's the thing. You're wrong about that. He's no longer hot. What he is cute. I would say that Vince Vaughn probably still qualifies as cute. And I don't know where you draw the line of demarcation.
That's
true.
Well, because I just did watch Swingers again this weekend, and he is hot in that movie.
But you know why? Because not
he's
all...
very thin.
You don't look at him and hear this noise. You know, which is kind of what you do now. And I just, you know, and he's Vince Vaughn, and I'm not, and whatever. But I'm just saying, there's a certain sort of stress being put on all the hems of his clothing at this point. But we got this. Hollywood actor Vince Vaughn set to sue two UK newspapers who claimed... Now, here's the thing. He's saying to me, he's a claim. I mean, I saw the photo. It's like him making out with some blonde woman.
No, they weren't making out. It's like he's hugging her, and it looks like he's kissing her cheek.
Looks like a kiss to me. Looked like more than a cheek kiss.
No, but sometimes, you know, you have a few cocktails and kiss your friends.
That is true, Sarah Dillon. Sometimes you kiss people who aren't even your friends. Sometimes you kiss people that you barely know. Sometimes you engage, and when I say you, I mean you.
Me?
Yeah. Sometimes you kiss people of the same gender.
Oh, it was my birthday.
Sometimes you kiss people of the same gender with tongue.
I do not with tongue.
Really?
No. Like, I posed for pictures, like, you know, like, there's never been in kissing.
Define kissing with tongue.
What are we talking about? Kissing.
Would you say, Sarah Dillon, let me deviate from this Vince Vaughn story to something more interesting for a moment. Would you say that if you, and I'm speaking now clinically, we're not speaking as a journalistic, as a news program. Would you say that if you and another person, either all or part of their tongue was past your lips in your mouth, or
did it look like I was involved in a passion embrace, or was it like a drunken funny picture?
Well, who's to say? It's a still frame.
Okay, Rick, stop
being an ass. It's a still frame. It's a still frame. Who can? I don't know what happened before or after.
Okay.
What
I know that sometimes I get.
Or if your tongue was just past the lips of somebody.
Oh my God!
Would you consider that a kiss?
No.
If that's not a kiss, then really, what is a kiss?
Well, sometimes you. get drunk and you joke around with your friends and you think it's funny.
Now, what are you referring to?
I don't know what you're referring to.
The same thing.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, me neither.
Okay.
I certainly don't have a photograph of it.
Okay.
There you go.
You're very annoying today.
I'm not annoying at all. Okay, you're being defensive. I'm not being
Well, I don't know. It's kind of unfair to you to keep bringing up this picture when I haven't even seen it.
We were talking about this the other day. We talked about it in front of Sean.
No, I know that Sean sent it to you, but I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can show it to you if you'd like.
Okay.
Would you like to see it right
yes.
now? All right, let me find it right now. Hold on. Let me find it right now. See, because I sort of foolishly assumed that since you're in the photo.
No, that was my birthday. I was drunky, drunk, drunk, drunk.
All right. Oh, now see, where did it go? Oh, here we go. Okay, hold on. Let me open the picture. I'm just saying. Now, seeing that, I think it's unfair that you're getting angry at me because how am I to know that I'm not supposed to mention it? That seems unfair.
Well, I don't care if you mention it. I just don't know what it is you're mentioning.
I'm just saying somebody sounds a little defensive. Is this because of the lip gloss comment?
Yeah.
Is this because I said your lips are shaved? Your lips look fine, baby. Your lips are all that. I'm sure the woman in this photo would agree.
I went and saw The Grudge 2 last night, and I was kind of scared, so I couldn't sleep very well. So I'm a little cranky.
I'm just saying Rick's fine. Rick Emerson is in a fantastic mood today.
I'm sure you are.
Rick Emerson is
got a full head of hair. All's right with the world.
Sort of. And some coffee. Saying Rick Emerson respects you and adores your participation in this program. Now let's look at this photo.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, now can I describe this photo? This is a photo, unaltered, undoctored, that someone gave me of you. I don't know where this photo was taken, but I'm going to describe this in completely accurate terms. And if at any point I exaggerate or deviate from the truth, you are free to call me on it. This is a photo. Oh, come on. What if I was in this same photograph? Okay, let me describe this. I don't want to be unfair to the audience. Here's a photograph. It is Sarah in a very fetching polka dot top. It is Sarah with her tongue fully extended, mouth open, tongue fully stuck out like Gene Simmons style. And another woman, also attractive, another woman with, I would say, about half an inch of your tongue in her mouth between her teeth.
No, that looks just like the very end of it.
She is either biting on or in the process of closing her lips around your tongue, which is in her mouth.
It's not her lips, it's her teeth.
Okay, if there was a photo of me and Byron Beck and my tongue was between Byron Beck's teeth, you'd be calling that a kiss and you'd be right.
No, because I think a kiss is like when you're actually like physically touching. That's staging a photograph for a drunken Sean.
It doesn't look staged. And here's why it doesn't look staged. Because your expression is not the expression you would have if you were staging it. Because
that's exactly the expression I would have.
I'm saying it's a very candid look. You don't look bad, but your expression is very candid. It's very surprised. It does not look posed. It is not like you stopped and said, how can I make myself look as good as possible?
No, that's a totally posed picture.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Do you remember taking this photo?
Vaguely, now I do. Well, that's my friend Perla, and she's a roller derby girl, and she knows Sean because Sean is, you know, an umpire for it, or
right.
whatever they're called.
So she's on one of the teams.
Yeah, and so it was my birthday night, and we were all just really intoxicated. I'm not embarrassed about it.
Oh, no, it's a fine photograph.
It is.
I think everybody would agree that
it's a fine
and inspiring photograph.
Well, nobody's going to know about it.
I'm just saying, if this photograph existed of myself and Byron, you would claim that there was a photograph of me kissing Byron. You would call that a kiss, because this is a kiss.
That is not a kiss.
It's,
okay.
Okay. Well, okay. We'll let the audience decide.
No, we won't.
You can't. You're not embarrassed of it. If you're not ashamed, Sarah, and you're both beautiful women, young, with your looks,
well,
vivacious, there's no reason not to let
the
people
see
it.
It's all right by me. I just don't feel comfortable posting something for Pearl.
We'll find Sean. Hold on a second. Let me find Sean. We'll get his approval. Hey, Sean?
Sean isn't in the picture.
Oh, but Sean knows Perla.
And I don't think he's
And
there.
Perla strikes me as a little bit exhibitionistic anyway. Perla doesn't really seem like she's opposed to, she's a roller derby girl. Clearly she's not going to mind. Her photo's everywhere. They're like honorary suicide girls anyway. We'll let the audience decide whether it's a kiss or not. All right.
Okay.
Note to myself. We'll just do that next hour. Hold on. Is Sarah picture...
We'll see.
A kiss. A kiss. No. I mean, I think it's good that you are very free and open-minded about this.
No, you know, not so free or open-minded. I'm going to think about whether or not I want you to post it.
No, but you're not embarrassed of it.
I'm going to think about
it. It's a beautiful photograph.
Well, I wouldn't have been embarrassed about it if because I know what it is, which is two friends joking around. But what you're making it out is to be some pornographic thing.
I'm not making it out to be pornographic.
No, since that's how you want to post it under, you want to post it under me kissing somebody
else. I never said
it was
pornographic.
I'm not comfortable with that.
I never said the word pornographic. That's
you. I'm not comfortable with that. No, you say that.
That's you.
No, you're saying that it looks like a kiss.
It is a kiss. It
does not.
It does. I could pull 100 out of 100 guys and ask them what's happening, and they would say
that's
two women kissing.
Well, because you're a guy.
It's because your tongue is in another woman's mouth.
It is not in her mouth.
That's her mouth right there. This is your tongue. See how you can't see all of it?
You can see it. My tongue is not any longer than that.
It's the most ridiculous conversation.
I know. You're not posting
We really need a ruler.
Let's pick up Lisa Goddard.
I'll find Sean.
Okay.
We'll see what Perla thinks about it. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent from the Hill, Lisa Goddard. Hi, Lisa. How you doing today?
Hello.
How's life on your end?
Things are A-okay here. How are you?
Oh, it's the best day ever. Sarah's a little cranky
statement.
Today.
Even though Sarah's turning you down?
Sarah turns me down all the time.
She's protecting her dignity.
No,
exactly. Well, okay, if it's your birthday, for example, and you get a little drunk with your girlfriends, and someone takes a picture of you that looks to be something that it's not... And I don't want to post it for all your listeners to judge whether or not I'm making out with some other girl. Which I
never said
not.
Making out.
Okay, kissing.
I said it's a kiss.
Okay.
It is a kiss.
It really is.
Lisa's a journalist. Lisa could probably give us the definitive answer. Lisa, you have a journalism degree, don't you?
I do indeed.
See, so I mean, now she's an unbiased, reporter from CNN. Exactly. They provide the news honestly and objectively.
And so what am I deciding?
Well, I'm just saying.
Nothing.
I'm just saying,
don't be sucked into
right,
this.
What's the call here? Is this of journalistic value?
Well,
no.
Well, of course it's of journalistic value.
It sounds to me like you're sort of trying to bend something journalistically to imply something it's not.
That is completely not. That's a drastic revision.
I'm just saying it's a little, makes me a little unhappy that you can see some things obviously making me uncomfortable and you keep poking at me about it.
At no point did you say that it made you uncomfortable.
It's making me uncomfortable that you're declaring that you keep saying that it looks like I'm kissing somebody
else.
I'm
not saying it looks like you're kissing. I'm saying it is clearly.
Okay. Well, I guess it's just between you and me.
I'm saying
what are you putting on the table, Rick? I mean, do you have something embarrassing that you can also put out there?
I have no picture of me, though. I have no, but I was saying if I had an equivalent photograph.
Right.
Well, that would be fair.
Yeah, but I don't.
Well, you better get out there. You've got a whole lot of time out there.
The day's still young, though. All right.
This sounds like a listener contest.
No, seriously. I have this here that I'll just minimize this now, because otherwise it's just going to be distracting. And she's covered in tattoos, and she's got a Nintendo tattoo as well. All right, I have to reduce this down now. I'm saying it's a good photograph, though. Nothing to be ashamed of. You both look really good. You both look fantastic in this photograph.
I like the picture. If you hadn't have gone on the whole kissing tangent, then I would have let you post it.
I haven't. I'm not going on a kissing tangent. I'm making the observation that that's sort of what that pose looks like.
Okay.
Give me an alternate description of it.
That is Sean taking pictures of me and my friend, and I'm like making a ridiculous face with my tongue sticking out, and Perla's kind of crazy, and she went up and bit my tongue.
That is true. Now, I would say that she does look a little crazy.
Yeah,
I would totally grant you
she's
that.
She's a nut in the best way. I mean, she's...
we mean it as a compliment.
Well, she's like covered in tattoos, crazy roller girl, really nice girl.
No, she's great. No, I'm a big fan of hers. I haven't met her, and I'm a big fan of hers. Well, let's talk about speaking...
girls in general.
Speaking of nutty guys, let's talk about our good friend Kim Jong-il.
Yeah, how about that?
So he just continues to be nuttier and crazier and scarier and more freaky.
Yeah, more with the declaration of war talk that they're still pumping out there. And what we're hearing from U.S. intelligence officials now is that there's activity at two different sites, perhaps erecting some kind of structure that maybe could be set up for another nuclear test, bringing in some... vehicles, that kind of, the looking down from above on the anthill kind of perspective. And so officials are now worried that North Korea may go ahead with a second test. So that's putting pressure on China to put more pressure on North Korea. But so far that has had no effect. So it just keeps ratcheting up another notch in tensions with North Korea.
Well, and so my thing is, and this is the kind of a recurring theme on this program, which is that I don't know. It's like, it seems like there's only so many times we can go, well, no, really. No, seriously. No, I swear to God, we're going to do it. And eventually, it's like when your parents tell you that you're going to go to bed without supper and your dad's going to beat you with a phone book and then it didn't happen. Eventually those threats just lose all their power.
Well, sanctions are very tricky. They sound really good on paper. We're not going to kill anyone. We're going to just kind of tighten pressure around them and convince them this is a bad idea. But generally, people only point to one example where sanctions has done anything, and that's in South Africa with apartheid. But other than that, look how long Cuba's been under sanctions. Really hasn't done too much there, though they've had some help from other countries. The U.S. has really been doing that mostly on its own. But for the most part, a lot of people shaking their heads. And I want to point to a story you might not, a lot of people might not talk about today. The AP has a story coming out of Korea that's not making the U.S. wires, but they interviewed an 83-year-old man who used to be basically the mentor to Kim Jong-il, and he defected. He was an incredibly important man in the North Korean hierarchy. He defected, and what he's saying today is that negotiations will never work, that this is a criminal organization, that this is a power that is intent on building nuclear weapons, and that what the world needs to do is just isolate North Korea as much as possible and try and bring them to their knees. But he says that talks, in his opinion, won't do it.
Did it strike anybody as coincidental that, maybe I've got my timelines wrong, but it seems like North Korea started getting all bent on building a nuclear weapon right around the same time that we claimed that they were part of an axis of evil and started preemptively invading countries. I'm not saying, I don't mean to sound like some burned out liberal hippie nutcase talk show host. I'm just saying, if the president gets on television and says, axis of evil, and then lists North Korea, and then, like, the next day decides to go kick over Iraq for no real reason.
I should give you my mom's phone number. She is right in tune with you. Pat Goddard also saying the whole axis of evil comment did a lot of harm. And, you know, it does look like North Korea, whether it was coincidental or not, right around that time, that's when North Korea was starting to make some serious advances and very serious commitments in infrastructure that now they believe are paying off. Now they have some nuclear technology, and it was right around that time that they were making some big steps.
All right. Well, so there is a Chinese proverb that says, may you live in interesting times. And so I believe that is right about now. Those are the times we're living in. So this is clearly not going to resolve itself anytime real soon, because this is, because once a guy in the neighborhood owns a gun, really, unless you just declare martial law and just go house to house and start rounding them up, there's no way to get that guy to give up his gun. And so that's what this is, right? This is a bad neighborhood full of bad guys, and one of them just went out and bought a high-powered rifle. And all we can really do is glare a lot and use harsh language and say that the homeowners association is not going to let him put up a jack-o'-lantern.
Right. You got to paint your house. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, this is a dangerous regime. This is a very brutal regime on its own people, probably a paranoid regime, and this is a serious problem. You know, they are still in an open state of war with South Korea. So as nervous as we are, imagine how the South Koreans are dealing with this right now. It's a very difficult time for them.
All right. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent on the Hill. Oh, by the way, did you hear us speaking with Gary Baumgarten yesterday?
I did. I listened in.
All right. Now, here's the deal, because Gary Baumgarten, CNN radio correspondent from New York, now he is going to be, he's stepping down, he's leaving his post to go to this other company, this company called Paltalk on the 26th. And so is the deal that he had not told anybody? Did you guys not know why he was leaving?
No, I knew. They just sent us the really two sentence, you know, Gary Baumgarten's leaving,
right,
and he's going to this company. But they didn't say what the company did. So, you know, none of us really knew what was going on with that. But that was good. And I have to tell you, very Disney-esque as he was describing his company. I felt like I was seeing cartoon birds. And
it really was
flowering. It was beautiful.
He was talking about a virtual community, and so I just have this picture of like an avatar of Gary with like a big head and a little tiny body and a huge mustache, like walking around under a cartoon palm tree somewhere with a thought bubble over his head.
Yeah, it was a combination of uplifting and kind of nauseating. it was hard for me to figure out.
That really is our program in a nutshell right there. All right, Lisa Goddard. Thank you, sister.
Okay.
All right, there you go. CNN Radio's correspondent, Lisa Goddard, on the Hill. I love you, Sarah. Come on. Say it back. Tell me you love me, too. I swear to God, I'll hug you.
No.
I'll come over there and hug you right now. I'm leaving my microphone.
Okay. Love you.
Okay, there we go. Back after this with the AM 970 New News Hour. Don't go anywhere.